Deal analysis 101. How do you actually get a deal? I've got 3 points that I think can help you start to look at the market and identify deals. But before that, I want to get into a market minute. What lenders actually need from you for a loan or a refinance? I'm going to end this show with a tool of the week that I think you might find valuable. This is the Midwest Investor. Midwest Invest Report. You know me, I'm Kyle Reedstrom. I'm your host. I've been in this real estate world for a long time, and we are bringing you this show so you know more about the market you live in. That market being Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, the surrounding area. You guys, we keep diving deep on topics to bring you as much as we can so you know how to navigate this market as it goes hot and cold and all the other ways around. Never really gets that cold, by the way. Unless it's winter, but then it's just literally cold. Okay, that was a joke. But you guys, I'm excited for another show. You guys, the first thing I have to mention is if you're not a subscriber to the Midwest Invest Report newsletter, you gotta get on our subscriber list. Last week, we actually put out our quarter one market update with statistics from the market. We're really loving what we're putting together on the newsletter, and I want you to be a part of that. There's tools, there's cool links, there's stuff we're interested in. There's more and more value every week. So join that subscriber list for the Midwest Invest Report newsletter. It's in the show notes. Click the link below and join our list. We'd love to have you. But let's get right into it, our market minute. I got the question, what do lenders need in order to get me approved? Well, what do lenders need in order to get me a loan, or even when interest rates might start jockeying a little bit this year, what does a lender need from me? Okay, so I wanna be very simple with this. A lender simply needs to verify your debt to income ratio. Okay, some of you might be like, yeah, Kyle, we know that. The crazy part about lenders is they don't care how much cash you have in the bank. That's a good thing, cash is okay. But they really care how much money you make each month and how much money are your fixed expenses, your debt. Things like car payments, student loans, medical bills, credit cards. Did I say that one? Okay, those things are fixed monthly payments and they want to judge that versus the income you make. And that's how they're going to determine how much house you can afford. Generally speaking, let's say I make $10,000 a month and I have $4,000 a month in fixed expenses. That means there's 6,000 left and they're generally going to give me like 45 to 50% of that to use on a house. So I would be right around that under $3,000 a month when I would get qualified in that situation. Okay, hopefully that makes sense. The way that they do that is they just need your tax return. So my first note to you is get an online folder for your tax returns every year and put them in like a Google Drive or something online that can reconcile and you can just send tax returns to lenders immediately because it makes it way easier than like keeping them in a file cabinet and physical paper, okay? The second thing I'll say is they need to understand your income. So they're gonna get your pay stubs, they're gonna verify your employment, they're gonna go to the actual source, right? Usually the last 60 days of your pay stubs. And then sometimes they check the last 60 days of your bank accounts just to see the money hitting and what expenses are coming up. Okay, so 60 days of bank statements, 60 days of pay stubs, or maybe even last two pay stubs, and 2 years of tax returns. The 2 year thing is important. Some lenders, if you only have 1 year of good tax return income, they won't qualify you and it's frustrating, okay? And they generally need that for a refi or a purchase. Now, the last thing I wanna say about lenders is you don't need 20% down to get approved for things. Couple loan products I wanna mention. The first time owners program for 3% down, which with the state program, which we did a video on that, you can get 0% down. Generally, if you're going in for your next house, it's about 5% down minimum. Once you get to some of the bigger pillars of like 10%, 15%, your payment, your PMI in your payment starts to go down. PMI is mortgage insurance that the lender has to have on you until you get to 20% down, get in the weeds a little bit. but you don't need that 20% down. And actually, the last thing I want to say is, if you're going to buy a lake place or a second residence, maybe this is applicable for some of you that have already gone through this process before, there is a loan product for 10% down second residence. Something like a lake place, something like a vacation place. You can do 10% down instead of the classic 20% down it takes for any other place other than your primary residence. So a couple little lender tips that I wanted to share with you. And generally, what do you need? What does a lender need from you? I hope that helped. That is our market minute. All right, gang, I want to get into the meat of what I wanted to talk about today on the show, which is deal analysis 101, or how to get that deal. Okay, I get that question a lot. I get the, I think that that's the, probably the most common thing on the internet as far as real estate investing. Real estate is like, how do I find deals? How do I find deals? What is a deal? Okay, well, I want to just say, like, when I feel like there's a deal, generally people are talking about price. I say this a lot in our market. You can only get two of three things. One being you get the price you want, you get the location you want, number two, and number three would be you get the amenities, everything you want, like the yard, the bedroom count, everything like that. You guys, generally you're going to sacrifice one of those things in order to get the house you want. And I think a lot of people search for all three. It can be done. It's not as common. Usually if it has the location and the amenities you want, you're going to pay more than you'd like, is the most common thing. But the cool thing is you have time on your side. So time will heal the price loss. So you can eventually over time get three out of three. Hope you're following me. But when people are talking about getting a deal, generally it's at like, hey, did I get it for less than what the market value is? That's a deal. And hey, I'm just like everyone else. I love getting deals too. But today I want you to, I want to walk through maybe what it looks like to kind of analyze a deal, what you should be looking for to kind of do some deal hunting. And this could be for an investment property. This can be for your primary property. This can be for any property in any market. These are some of the things I think you can look for generally. And I want to tee you up with that success. This is the, some of the stuff I look for. So number one, you'll see on my screen, I wanted to bring you guys into the screen share. This is the MLS. Awesome tool. You guys don't have access to the MLS, but if you have a real estate professional, you can gain access to the MLS. So I'm selfless plug there because I'm selfish plug, I should say, because I'm a real estate agent. But you guys, real estate agents can be great tools for finding deals. That's a huge piece of this. But the number one thing that I'm going to look for, you guys, first is motivation. How do I find motivation? So I circled up Fargo here. I'm going to pull up the list. You guys, the number one thing I'm looking for motivation on a property is days on market. DOM is what we call it. So if you're looking on my screen here, I'm just pulling up the list. I found 89 houses under a certain price point. I'm looking at days on market. How long has this been on the market? This one looks like it's been on for 46 days. We got one that's just been on for one day. We got one that's been on for 32 days. You guys get the gist. Okay, here's why. Because when I am able to see something that's sitting on the market for longer than a week, generally in our internet age culture, if a property's online, in the first 7 days, everybody and their grandmother's seen that property if they're even close to searching for it. That's just how real estate works. So if something's sitting longer than 2 weeks, something's sitting longer than 3 weeks, there's two questions I have. There's either something wrong with the house, or a lot of times there's something wrong with the price or the marketing. Like, did they price that thing up or what's going on there, right? People have seen it. They're just not pulling the trigger on it. A lot of times if you overprice something, it'll sit. Also something with the house. You guys get it. So first off, if I'm going to find a deal, I'm going to look at that days on market. As part of that motivation piece in number one, I'm also going to look at the price changing. What did they price that originally? Where are they pricing it currently? You can see on this MLS, you can see list price here and current price there. Original list was 260, it's now listed at 250. So they are showing some movement, right? Let's check out some others. We've got one that was originally listed here. This one that's been on the market for 32 days, 255 down to 247.5, okay? So we're starting to see some of that direction. And if I'm looking for a deal, now I know their new price is 247.5 and they've been on market. Could I offer 240? Could I offer 235? I could offer 220 and I would expect to get a counter offer. But you guys, this starts that conversation of understanding the listing agent went and priced this property, this original list price, based on the comparables around this property. So that listing price is generally pretty solid to go off of for like a market value in a normal market based on the comparable sales in the last 12 months. So really that mark, getting it for less than that is starting to smell like a deal, okay? Hopefully you guys can get into some of my thinking on that. So motivation, I have two components there, days on market and any price drops. Kind of tells us the story a little bit. The second one is red flags. This is obviously, we gotta ask, why is this still on the market? Why is this on for 46 days and why have they dropped 10,000 and it's not sold? So we gotta dig into the details a little bit. I'm gonna pop this property up. I'm gonna maybe look at just a couple pictures. But what am I looking for? Exterior, I can get a feel for it. Okay, I'm looking through. All right, but here's the thing I'm actually looking for. I'm gonna get right to the meat of it. I wanna see if there's pictures of the basement. Because generally speaking, in my experience, you guys, everything about a house is pretty curable except for foundation issues. Okay, so when I'm looking at this foundation, I see it's finished. Here's my thing, oh, it's finished, that's good. I don't know if I like that because I want to see the basement walls because I want to see if it has foundation. It's all the walls are covered up. That means there's kind of a mystery down there. I see it right here. I can see through a doorway. What does that wall look like? It looks like it could be a little something. I see an awesome pull-up bar here. You guys, but I want to know what's going on with this basement. And so I'm trying to just see if there's any red flags. The red flag for me right now is that this has found. The foundation walls are covered up for the most part, and I'm going to have to look in a utility room or a closet like this one in order to actually see if there's cracking, there's buckling on that wall. Because you guys, if you just fixing foundation issues is possible, but it's a big crazy thing to do with a property. You don't want to get a deal just to adopt foundation issue problems, in my opinion, in my experience. Okay. So that's kind of what I'm looking for on that second point is red flags when it comes to things. I'm gonna look at this one right here. I'm just gonna pull this up and see, okay, so this one's been on for 32 days. I wanna see what, I'm gonna scroll over here, look at a couple interior photos. Okay, nothing too crazy. I'm gonna see if I can get to the basement on this one. Okay, so I see a basement picture here, seeing, there's a little cracking I can see in the pictures. The pictures are only going to tell us so much, right? But this is at least giving me a basis to go down. Finished space downstairs, you know, can be good. Can also be like, hey, how much of the walls can I see? So kind of two similar things with this. I'm going to check out. I want to check out and see, is that foundation in a place where I can definitely work with what I've got there and make sure if I'm getting a deal, how am I going to increase the value of this thing to really prove it's a deal, okay? The third thing I want to do for deal analysis 101 is, you guys, you got to look into how long this thing has been owned, okay? How long has the ownership been? And you know, there's a couple ways to find that. Again, your real estate agent is going to be able to help you with some of these things, and I know I'm using tools that help me, but hey, if you're looking for deals, you got to have tools. Zillow is going to be limited in information, but generally, sometimes you can see when it's sold. There is a tab for me where I can see the history of this property. It looks like the last time it closed was in 2018. So I can see the price it closed for. I can see where they're pricing it at now. This allows me to be like, okay, what's the story with this? Was work done? You know, what changed with it? Why are they pricing it up? Yes, the market's different, but I need to start to understand those things. Also, there's a site called PropStream that I subscribe to. This is something that you should that you could also use. PropStream.com if you are looking for like a referral affiliate link or something. I don't know if you get like a free month or anything or how that works on my end either. But you can reach out to me for that if that's something you're interested in. But PropStream is a cool site that you don't need to be necessarily licensed to use, where you can go and look up some of these data on like, hey, when's the last time it sold? How much equity exists in this property? Yeah, there's Grand Forks, Fargo down here. But these types of tools help you to understand, hey, when I'm doing deal analysis, I gotta have some of these facts, okay? All of this is just getting us to a place where you can make an offer and see the chips will kind of be on the table at that point, right? You can do all the analysis in the world, but at the end of the day, if you offer something and the seller doesn't bite on it, there's no go. Okay, so that's the other part about deal analysis that kind of is, when I have the conversation with people, it's kind of like, hey, what are we talking about here? Because we can go on that 250, from 260 down to 250, that property we looked at, we can go offer 220, and if they counter us at 248, we're just not seeing a seller that's very motivated to sell that. We're either gonna have to figure out better terms or, you know, better things to do to lure them down. But generally we can start to understand some motivation. If we see that 260 down to 250, they're still on market. Of course they wanna sell it or else they wouldn't be on the market. Hey, how can we go? And a lot of times deal analysis and finding a deal comes with some volume as well. You're gonna look at many of these things. You're gonna reach out to many. You're gonna find one where you're gonna have a motivated seller. And generally in the investment world, we say, is it a distressed seller or a distressed property? Because distressed properties are definitely gonna be deals because they need a lot of work and they need a lot of sweat equity. Distressed seller that just needs to get rid of a property is also a motivated seller. And that might be an opportunity as well. And that's kind of what you're looking for in the deal finding world. But in the personal residence and in finding a lake place for your property or finding your next home and just saying, hey, I don't necessarily want to pay over asking or sticker price. I want to find a little bit more of a deal. Go and look at those days on market. Make sure there's no red flags. And then go and see how long someone's owned this and it starts to help you tell the story of what you might be able to get as far as an offer, what you might be able to get as far as a deal on that property. All right, gang, I wanna end the show with our tool of the week. I don't know how many of you are techie, but the tool of this week is called Zapier, commonly referred to as Zaps, okay? This is a website, it's a program. You can check out Zapier.com. And what Zapier does in my third grade brain of technology is it connects two websites or two database programs to each other. I don't know if I said that perfectly. It connects two online services together so they can talk to each other. I like that one better. Okay, the example I use is in our sales world, we have a database. We have a database with people that we've served. We track our things in that database. And then we have things like our Google calendar, Google tasks, in our Gmail. And the way that I recently used Zapier was anytime a task is created over here in our database, it automatically was able to be the connector from my database to my Google Calendar and create a task on my Google Calendar. This is a really cool thing for websites you're using commonly. You can use or create a Zap, and that is saying, hey, when something's done over here, I'm gonna create something over here. You can do that with Gmail, Google Calendar, you can do that with things other things like Outlook. Anytime you're trying to make some sort of automation, you can use Zapier as a tool for that. And I think it's a neat place to explore. I am by no means an expert, but I think it's a really cool tool. And I know a lot of people that use it extensively. Like they say, their business would falter without it. So the tool of the week, Zapier, check it out. Okay, gang, we're gonna end the show. It's been an amazing show. We went into the market minute with lending. We talked about some deal analysis 101. I hope you're teed up to be a better deal finder and a deal analyzer. And you guys, of course, our tool of the week. Guys, don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter. If you like this content, if you like our show and you've made it this far, you guys, we want to get this out to more people. It helps our Facebook and YouTube algorithms when you give us a like, when you give us a subscribe, when you check out our channel, and especially if you're sharing or commenting on this thing. It helps the algorithm, so we would really appreciate that. That's my selfish ask for the day. You guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. This has been the Midwest Investor.